Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
Welcome to everybody that's here. If this is your first time here, my name is Jay Miller and I'm senior leader at Legacy, and we're really glad that you're with us. We know God's got something really happening in our city, and we're glad that you came to worship with us on Easter. One of the things I always tell our church is that the Easter is special, just like your birthday is special. You're worthwhile celebrating, right, when your birthday comes around. But we also say, and you're worthwhile celebrating every day that's not your birthday. And when we look at Easter, Resurrection Day, every day is Resurrection Day for us, right? We're not looking forward to a moment when we'll finally be free from sin. We're actually already free from sin. We live in this resurrection moment, and we're continuing to see the expansion of the victory that Jesus won for us on the cross. Before I jump in the service, I just felt like right now there's an anointing for healing, and Rob had pointed out, a couple other people did on it, so I don't want to go too much further what the Spirit's doing in this room. So if you need a healing for anything in your body whatsoever, would you just stand up briefly for me? Yeah. Now, how many people know that Jesus is healer, so he always likes to heal, right? But there's these moments in time, and it's, I think it's kind of because we're limited in our human perspective, where it's like it feels like he wants to do it more at other times than others. And I don't know that that's true. I just feel it more right now, that the Spirit, the resurrection Spirit, just remember that Jesus died fully for you. He paid for your sins. He actually took your infirmities onto his body. He actually took your sorrows into his body. So when he was crucified, he actually paid completely for your sorrows, for your infirmities, for your diseases. And when he resurrected, what we get to inherit is not just the distance from illness, but we actually get to inherit the resurrection life. And the Bible says this, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave is the same Spirit that lives in his people, right? But whether you're born again or not, you can actually be physically healed because he is healer. We want to invite everyone into an experience with Jesus as Savior, but right now we're going to introduce you into the healer, right? So right now, I just want you to pray with me and just receive it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just release, Lord, right now over every person. You don't have to repeat after me. We release over every person right now the resurrection life. That the same Spirit that rose the dead body of Jesus is the same Spirit that raises our bodies into the fullness of life right now. That we don't have to wait to heaven. We don't have to wait for a rapture. Right now, we get to an encounter and experience the fullness of the resurrection life. And so we just speak creative miracles now, where there's broken things coming back into alignment, where there's missing things that they would actually be recreated, where there's metal that's been put in the body because of surgeries. We just command metal to disappear and new life to come into it. We've actually seen that happen numerous times. We just declare eyes that can't see to be able to suddenly come into sight. We just command right now cancer, those cells that have been replicating at an illegal rate, and we call you back into the kingdom of God right now in the body. No more cancer in Jesus' name. Only the fullness of life. Only the fullness of life. And I just declare right now that even in this moment, the trauma of the ailment, the trauma of the diagnosis and the memory, that be healed now in the name of Jesus. I declared you are whole according to what Jesus did. Silver and gold I have not, but I can give you what I have, and that's the resurrection life now in Jesus' name. And so we release that fully in your mighty name, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Now, before you sit down, if you have the ability, test it out, see if you saw any levels of improvement. Now, if it's something you have to go test the doctor, you can't tell unless it's a test, then you can do it, but later. But if you saw any improvement whatsoever, just go ahead and raise your hands, all right? Now, two hands if you feel like it's like more than 80%. Come on. We have at least one over here. We had two. Come on, is there anybody else in the room right now? You felt it. God's touching your body. Yeah. Resurrection life. So let's just give praise. Ain't no grave, amen? Yeah. If you still need prayer at the end of service, our altar ministry team is going to be here, and we would love to continue to agree with you that Jesus' fullness is actually going to touch you today, and you're going to walk away full of life, not actually underneath the power of a spirit. Speaking of, and again, just the Lord said to be really transparent, during worship. I had not planned on coming up to introduce. And then I heard the Lord say, get ready, you're about to go up. I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to say? He says, just wait for it. And I said, okay. So I heard him, be proactive. I had a word of the Lord. Let me start walking. I don't know what I'm going to say. And then out of my corner, I'm not going to point which corner, I felt a spirit, an Antichrist spirit step out, that the thing that is going after our kids. Let's just put it that way. It's not specific to one thing. And I saw it come out and become visible and say, I dare you to call me out. And I heard the Lord say, yeah, I dare you to call it out, right? So when I walked up, I'm like, I still don't know what to say. All I know is I'm supposed to take what darkness has been trying to cloud, trying to cloak, trying to bring people in this place of confusion, into fear, into incompleteness, into an orphan identity, all the things that take place. And whether it's from sexual identity, gender identity, or any other thing that's out there, like this cloak of darkness that's been able to hide. And I'm just going to say, on the day of visibility, the Lord is saying, I'm bringing what is in the darkness into the light so that I can actually bring redemption to my children. How many people realize that the reason Jesus came was not because we were a bunch of sinners that needed rescuing? He came because we were his sons and daughters that were actually separated from his Father for all of eternity, and the Father could not stand that. So he sent his Son to say, I'm going to deal with the sin issue, because sin separates us, but I'm going to deal with the sin issue so I can bring my kids back into family. And when we begin to understand that the good news of Jesus is not just going out and calling out sin, but it's actually releasing the spirit of adoption. It's actually releasing. I read that verse in Revelation chapter 4 where it talks about the Creator. He created everything with intention. He even created the devil with intention. Just because the devil wanted to go sideways out of pride did not mean that the Lord did not create him with intention. He just happens to use the way the Lord intended him with creation to use it for darkness. But he's calling us back into his marvelous light. If you understand the gospel is this, we once belonged underneath the dominion of the kingdom of darkness. Because of what Jesus did, he made a way available for those who are orphans to come into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his Son. We don't have to hide in the shadows anymore. And what I want to encourage you is this, is you felt like, you've just like, I don't know what it is. I'm always waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm always waiting for, it seems like my life is cursed or something's going wrong or whatever it is. Like, I don't know what it is. Let me tell you, right now, God has good things planned for you. He has good intentions. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. He wrote that, he said that in the Old Testament before Jesus came, by the way, when everybody was still separated from him. And so this is not about you getting over your behavior issue. This is not about you suddenly working up the courage to have the courage to step out. No, this is about you receiving the life that God has for you. You could never have rescued yourself or saved yourself in the first place, but you didn't have to. Jesus came for you. He paid a price for you. He said, you're valuable, you're worthy. I'm coming after you. That's the message that we preach. This is why then when we pray for the sick, what are we doing? What Jesus purchased on the cross. He wants the rewards of his suffering. He wants honor and glory. And one of the ways we do that is when we see his other children who are hurt and broken and walking in darkness, something inside of our heart should begin to cry out with compassion and go, I have the solution for it. Because I was once one who was in darkness without hope. But suddenly, because of Jesus, I have all hope living inside of me. I have a confident expectation that God is who he says he is and that he'll always do what he says he will do. And so now I step into this place of obedience, of bringing the gospel, the good news of Jesus everywhere I go. We have something to offer to the world, and we need to learn how to extend the victory of Jesus. If you have your Bibles with you, why don't you open up to two passages. First one's going to be Revelation chapter 4. You can put a marker there. Revelation chapter 4, put a marker. I love hearing those pages turn. And then the next verse is going to be Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, keep it open there. So Revelation chapter 4, Colossians chapter 1. Extending the victory of Jesus. I'm going to read a few scriptures before we get to Colossians. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says this, "The scripture tells us that the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit." Let me hear you say, a life-giving spirit. How many people realize that Jesus is not here to take from you? We say it all the time, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. There's a context for that. There's a context. The only time Jesus takes something out of your life is so that he can give you something bigger, something better. He prunes you, right? Because he wants you more to be more fruitful. But the context is Jesus is here to give you something, and we must be ready to receive it. 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me hear you say, he gives us the victory. What's interesting about victory is it's an ever-increasing victory. He won it once, but we get to enjoy it. I was going to make a comment about our Constitution, but I'm going to back off that one real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." If you belong to Jesus, say, "I do." Then overwhelming victory is yours. Say it. Say, "Overwhelming victory is mine." Did you do anything to get it? No. You just believed. You just received what the Lord is wanting to give you. We need to get out of this mindset that God's an angry father who wants to take away things from us and to punish us. He's here actually to remove the things that harm you and bring the things that bring you life. It's a big, big difference. He has good things planned for you. 1 John 5, 1 through 5 says this, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments." Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. We can make them burdensome, amen, but they're not supposed to be burdensome. Verse 3, "Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith." In the New American Standard Version, it says this, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith in what? It's actually the faith of Jesus. Not just the faith in Jesus. You can put your faith in something and it removes you from the responsibility of it. But when Jesus says, "I want to give you something," and what I want to give you is the faith that Jesus walked in. What if Jesus walked in today and says, "Hey, I want you to increase in your faith. It's impossible to please God without faith." And you're like, "How am I going to get faith?" And Jesus goes, "Here you go. You can have mine." Now tell me what Jesus has faith for. Like, it's impossible. So we need to shift out of this thing where I'm thinking, I'm trying to generate some sort of faith. I just need to do this. Jesus, what do you got here? You can have mine, and you can have mine. He's like Oprah. You can have this, and a faith for you, and faith for you. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. It does not run out. But we have to stay in this connection point. Are you all okay because I referenced Oprah? All right, you know. We'll get back to Jesus. It's okay. "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through his faith. And who can win this battle against our world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's interesting. I was reading an article this week, and I think it was a Rasmussen poll that was looking at U.S. voters. And it said today that 70% of U.S. voters believe that Jesus bodily resurrected from the grave. Which on one end is, yay, God, that's kind of cool. But have we seen the fruit of that in our nation? No, we don't see the fruit of it. So I can say, I believe that Jesus is rose in bodily resurrection, but what do I believe about the resurrection? That's what matters. I need to come into this agreement that means if Jesus bodily resurrected from the grave, that means transformation is possible. When I see the illness, it's not an impossibility. He paid for it. He resurrected already. When I see demonic influences taking place with our children in our schools and in the government, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening? The devil's so big. No, he's not. No, he's not. He only gets as big as we allow him to get. But we come into this place and go, wait a minute, no, but I'm a child of God. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, which means he has supreme victory now. Is he going to call me to do some things? Yes. Do I need to be proactive in my faith? Yes. Is it all hands on deck to bringing the gospel to the world? Not just the clergy, but is it all hands on deck? Yes. But it starts with this beginning point where we realize, wait a minute, he is the Son of God, which means I've already overcome the world. Because he already overcame it. Which means now when I walk into a situation that looks like it's hopeless, and all I got to do is wait for him to say, here's what you're going to do. I bring life into dead situations. Lazarus, from a human perspective, all hope had been lost. His sisters are weeping. They've got professional mourners outside the grave. And Jesus waits until he starts to stink. He didn't come the day he died. He didn't come before he died. He came several days afterwards. This, Lazarus, come out of that grave. Do you realize you carry the same resurrection power inside of you? Thoughts reside in your brain. Beliefs reside in your heart. It's time for us to take the thought that Jesus has been resurrected and fully move it into our belief system, where the overflow of our heart, our mouth speaks, but not because we're repeating something, but because we're actually releasing the power of something. I'm going to say that one more time. We have to let the overflow of our heart, mouth speaks, not because we're repeating something, but because we're releasing something. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, he wasn't just making some empty mantra. With his declaration included the grace of resurrection to come out of the grave. That's what's in you. That's what's in me. That's what our world needs, and we have to expand the victory of Jesus. He won the victory, disarmed the enemy. We just have to be careful not to rearm the enemy and live defeated. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 1. You should have your Bibles open there. And I'm going to read a chunk of scripture here for you. It says verse 11, starting there. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so you will have all the endurance and patience that you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He's enabled you, listen to this, to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and supreme over all creation. Let me stop there real quick. The 70% U.S. voters, which is not a great theological study, let's just be honest, that believe that Jesus bodily resurrected from the grave. My question is, do they believe he didn't just bodily resurrect? Do they believe he's the supreme creator? What shifts you into a belief system that moves you in from Jesus saved to Jesus reigns? It's got to shift us from he's saving me from sin and he's come in this place where he reigns and rules in my life because he's ruler and he's creator more so than he's savior. Can we just be honest here? When we made salvation, and I'm going to be very careful on this, so I'll probably get a few emails. When we made salvation the pinnacle of Christian faith, we actually limited the power of the resurrection. Salvation is the entry point to the promised land of life. What's the point of that door in the back? So we can come into something. Salvation, the cross, it's the entry point. When you walk through that entry point, all the old passes away and you step into a new reality. You enter into a new reality. Jesus is the creator. He rules and reigns supreme. He is my savior, but he's so much more than that. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. In order for us to see transformation of our cities and our nation and the nations, we have to move into the place. He's creator, he's ruler, he's supreme, he's the king of kings. He saved me so that I could be his son and daughter. But the highest name he can be called is King, Father, Ruler. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have to shift our belief system. It does not diminish salvation. It actually puts it in its proper context so we can get the fullness of salvation. We'll start back in verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, and the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Verse 17, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Let's just pause there real quick. What's the timing of this? Now. This is a present term, tense phrase. This isn't in one day you will stand before him blameless. If you belong to Christ now, if you've been born again, now you stand before him blameless. You might say, well, wait a minute, Jay, I still struggle with sin. Yeah, you didn't lose your ability to be stupid. You just don't have a sin nature to blame it on anymore. You carry the son nature. Struggling with temptation, Jesus was tempted in every way we're tempted, and yet he was without sin. Temptation is not the sign that you fell. It's just the devil trying to get you where he's at. The devil knows he's stuck in hell forever. He's trying to trick you to join him. It's going to be the Lonely Hearts Club. He wants you to follow him. And the Lord's going, wait a minute, if you just understand who I am, so that you can understand who you are now. Fullness of salvation. We do not have time anymore to play patty cake with an orphan spirit. The time is ripe. The fullness of Christ has come. Verse 22, we're going to read it again. Yet now he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Verse 23, but here's the key. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you first heard the good news. The good news has been preached over all the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Verse 23 again, you must continue to believe this truth. What truth? Because of who he is, I am. You want to know the highest form of honor and glory that can get back to the Father? We recognize you are who you are, and I am who you made me to be. Not because I made myself. I was created in his image. I was born again in his image. That means something. That means something. If you've been struggling with stuff, I'm going to tell you right now, this whole week I've been praying, and I could just feel it in the spirit, like there are people who have been really wrestling with. I really want to be holy. I really want to be blameless and kind of go through this place of the struggle. I'm here to tell you today, the struggle is over. When you start to believe that he has already made you blameless and holy, you actually tap into the grace that's necessary when the temptation comes your way. And you get to go, no, because I already know I'm blameless. I'd say this, one of the reasons the devil tempts Christians is he wants to get you into a guilt mode. He wants to pull you out of your reigning with him, reigning with Jesus. Look what it says, and flip over to chapter 2 of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, starting verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow. Let me hear you say, you'll overflow. you'll overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in the human body. Verse 10, so you also are complete through your union with Christ. Starting again, say it. So I am complete through my union with Jesus, who is the head over every rule and authority. And when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. This is why when people say, I was a sinner saved by grace, it's still a sinner. Well, you missed the circumcision. You missed the point. The old has passed, the new has come, and you must continue in that belief system. Here's the reality. You can resurrect. You can use the power of resurrection to resurrect the old sinner and live like the old one. But it's a false identity. I would propose to you this. The reason zombies, vampires, the living dead are such a big deal is because Jesus has called us to be the grateful living dead. Righteousness. The old died. I'm now alive in Christ. So what's the counterfeit of that? The old dead dude resurrecting and walking around like this. And let me infect you with my sin, my belief system. We've been resurrected with him. Verse 12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins, and he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Listen to verse 15. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You know what Paul is making reference to? Whenever Rome would actually go and conquer, and this is actually wasn't just Rome, it was every major world power. When they would conquer another kingdom, they would take the kings and the household of the king, and they would strip them down naked, and they would parade them in front of the capital city. This is what Jesus did. He took sin. He stripped it down of all its power. He made a public display of it saying, I'm the real king here. Death, where's your sting? Sin, where you sting? You lost it. I'm going to parade it around saying, there's the shame in the sin. It's been publicly done away with. What does the devil want you to do? He wants you to take on that shame again. So you feel like you're publicly walking around shamed. But what did Jesus do? He removed the shame. He removes your ashes and he gives you beauty. He removes death, he gives you life. He removes sorrow and he gives you joy. So here's my question for you this morning. What voice builds your faith? What voice builds your faith? What seed are you from? Adam or Jesus and Abraham? In Romans chapter 5, verse 19, it says this in the Amplified Version. For just as by one man's disobedience, let me hear you say disobedience. What's interesting, I'll finish the verse and I'll come back and tell you what disobedience means. By one man's disobedience, the many were constituted as sinners. So by one man's obedience, the many were constituted righteous, made acceptable by God, brought into right standing with him. What's interesting about this Greek word for disobedience is it literally means this. Disobedience that springs from a negative attitude, contrary hearing, the refusal to listen properly. This hearing has the attitude of refusing to take heed and therefore is inattentive. Hearing that will not comply reflects the attitude that chooses to disobey because of a disinterest. What does Romans say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith will grow by what voice you obey. Your faith will grow in the devil's ability to mess with you if you heed its voice. I remember when I struggled before I really understood what freedom was, feelings of orphanhood, even though I had a great father and mother. But spiritually, I didn't understand this orphanhood. And man, there's so many times I go, man, I'm just, all those other people out there, God wants to bless them and they're highly favored except for me. And what happened was this, is I was heeding the voice and it actually built a belief system inside of me that I really was not worthy to walk with him. Because I built my faith, and I hear this, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. Messes with me now. Suddenly I found out I'm valuable. I'm wanted. I'm worthy. And my faith was built up into sonship because I followed the voice of Jesus, not the voice of the enemy. Look what it says, through one man's disobedience. Adam, we always want to blame Eve, but it was Adam and Eve. Adam had the message of faith. Hey, Adam, you got the fullness of life. You get to rule and reign from me. You get to be able to be fruitful and multiply. Take dominion over all the earth. Here's the condition. Tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What was it? He was giving them an option. Are you going to follow my voice into life, or are you going to replace my voice with the knowledge of something else? In no disobedience, he replaced the voice of God as his source of truth, which led to death, which meant we inherited disobedience, separation. But that's why Jesus had to come. Read through John chapter 1. He says, in the beginning, here becomes the Word. The Word was with God, and God was the Word. Jesus is the Word, the living Word of God, coming as the expression of the Father, the expression of faith, so that people who hear the name of Jesus, who hear the voice of Jesus, could become into this place of faith. And now I begin to have my faith built on what Jesus is saying. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Greek nor Jew. There's no slave, neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So what does it mean to be an heir of Abraham? Abraham had no context other than he has the voice of God coming and he trusted the voice of the Father without understanding the full plan. And that led him into righteousness. So what are we called to do on a daily basis? Don't compare yourself to someone else. You're in this place and go, man, I'm not like this person. Who cares? This is not about their faith walk. This is about your faith walk. Start where you're at and begin to ask the question, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me right now? Who do you say that I am? What do you say that is possible for me to become inside of you? Begin to be led by the voice of the Spirit and allow the faith to begin to grow inside of you. That's how you begin to expand the faith and expand the victory of Jesus inside of you. So what has Jesus given you? How's it expanding in your life? How's it expanding from your life? 1 Corinthians 15:45, again, I'll read it, says, the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. Jesus wants to give us his life, but then we also must become a life-giving spirit. If I'm made in his image, and as Jesus is, so am I. Now the question moves, not just what am I receiving, but what am I giving away? Because the principle of the kingdom is freely receive, freely give away. Hurt people, they freely give away hurt, right? Disappointed people, you walk in the room, you know they're disappointed. They're giving you their disappointment, right? Gossipers will give you the gossip really quick, right? Joyful people, what happens? You can feel them when they walk in the room. Sometimes it's annoying when it's really early in the morning, you hadn't had your coffee, right? I need to receive my coffee first, and then I can join you in your joy, right? But they give you what they've got. What we have to move is not just in this place. Growing into maturity means I've received and become so that I can now give away. The gospel of salvation is not just for you and me. As long as there remains one person out there that is yet to be born again, we're on mission. as long as there remains one place of darkness that remains standing, it's still mission critical. It's time to advance. We have to be able to become a life-giving spirit to other people. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. I read this a few weeks ago. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The reason I tell you is this, is don't feel like you have to get to 400 degrees like this. I cooked some food yesterday, and I had to preheat the oven to 400 degrees, right? And I didn't get mad at the oven, because you're not instantly 400 degrees. I understood there was a process, right? Same way with your faith in Jesus. When you are born again, your spirit is already at 400 degrees. But your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, your physical body is waiting to catch up with what is already true about you in heaven. And when we move away from competition and we move away from fear and we say this, as long as I'm in his presence, I'm going to grow into that same image, one degree of glory to the next. One. And eventually I get to the place where I fully look like him. So let's just believe and obey his promises. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope, our confident expectation that God is who he says he is, that I am who he says he is, that he'll do what he says he's going to do without wavering, for he who promised me is faithful. Psalm 145, 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule is for all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his actions. The question comes is, whose eyes are you on? You understand how to grow? Do what Jesus did. We had the bracelets for a long time. What would Jesus do? He saw his father and did it. He listened, heard what his father said, and he said it. It's really simple. Sometimes it feels really complex and difficult, but we have to come into this level of childlikeness. When I tell my kid, they're getting older, and so now they're starting to think for themselves, which is really good. It's a good place to be as a parent, because I don't have little people anymore. I now have independent world changers. It's amazing. But when they were young, there was moments when I had to say, hey, I need you to do this. Why? Just trust me. Just trust me. And with childlike faith, they go, okay, Dad. Not all the time, but a lot of time, they would do that. Okay, Dad. They're amazing. What is this? Hey, I can't give you all the details. If I gave you all the details, it would blow your little mind right now. But if you'll just trust me, if you just understand that you have to obey me right now because I love you, you'll discover that when you obey me, good things happen. We were in SCA the last week, and this conversation about obedience came up. When I discover that if I obey him because he loves me and I have to and good things come, I move away from this place of delayed obedience, because I understand when I obey him, good things begin to happen. Then I want to obey him because I'm waiting for what good thing's going to happen, right? And all of a sudden, as I begin to grow in this level of maturity, I start to realize, wait a minute, I get to obey him. I need to obey him. Why? Not because it benefits me. Because it benefits them. It benefits the world. And ultimately, it benefits him. I'm bringing back. Here's how I expand the victory of Jesus into every sphere. I've got my eyes locked into him, and I walk in obedience with him. You know what? We're not going to read Revelation. It's okay. I want you to stand up with me. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes just so it removes distraction. I want you to ask this question, Holy Spirit, What are you saying to me personally today? As you're receiving, I sense the Lord. I always sense the pleasure of the Lord. He's really pleased with you. Because you bring him pleasure just by who you are. So often we say, yeah, but you don't know what I thought or what I did. He does. And yet, not only does he love you, he's pleased with you. You bring him pleasure. But I think there's an invitation to what the Lord's saying is this. Will you grow in my resurrection? Will you expand the victory that I've already won for you personally? Will you embrace it? Will you settle in it? Will you begin to say, I fully believe this? That's the invitation of the Lord today. Just right where you're at right now, say, I choose to believe you, Jesus. Yeah. I break any agreements with a voice other than your voice, Jesus. Yeah, shoo. I just feel what the Lord's releasing to you right now is a personal encounter with his goodness. So Holy Spirit, come. Lead everyone into truth. Lead them into the reality that you have for them. I just declare right now that favor is on your life. If you hear the sound of my voice, whether it's here or online, the Lord says, my favor is coming to you. The resurrection brings breakthrough. The only thing I require of you is to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, supreme ruler over everything. We just thank you, God, right now for what you're doing, that you're bringing home your sons and your daughters. And you're sending out fathers and mothers into our city, into our families to bring the transformation that you desire for the nations. To say, I receive that. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Somebody give him a shout of praise. Come on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.